Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a big day coming up on Tuesday, don't we? Election Day. So I'm not telling people who to vote for, or I think that's your own business. And also... if you vote or you don't vote, that's your business too. So I think we have to be prayerful, because only God knows, doesn't he, what's going to happen. And from all the polls, it seems like the election is very, very going to be very, very close. But anyway, we'll see, won't we? So... we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because we know after what we've been seeing this past week after the storm. Now, of course, we see the utter incompetency of government. And why? Could you please tell me why in the world you can't get a fuel truck to New Jersey or New York? Why people are standing in line for 6 hours to get gasoline? Something is broken, very broken. I guess if it's your family, if it happened to be maybe the government officials that didn't have gas in their car, maybe they would have some compassion for the people that don't have gas. They don't have gas to power their generators. I guess that's where a solar-powered generator would come in handy, wouldn't it? Something that you could charge with sunlight. Because these gas generators, you know, they're very, very... they use a lot of gasoline. And then, of course, if you can't get gasoline, you're stuck. And they can be very, very dangerous. They're saying that there's been a few deaths because people keep these generators in their house, and, you know, they do give off carbon monoxide, or they keep them too close to the window or too close to the door. They don't buy an extension cord that's long enough. You need to keep a generator at least 20 feet away from your house, and don't open up your windows or your doors and let the fumes come in and then go to sleep, because you might not wake up. Because you can't smell carbon monoxide, you can't taste it. So people have to be so careful. But we also see now the government and most people, most famous people, seem to promote the Red Cross for some reason. I don't know why. I know that a few years ago when we had a big storm here, there's a girl not too far from here. She runs a homeless shelter. She's very devoted. She was taking people in, actually, here in Florida. She was taking people in from Louisiana and housing them and feeding them. And then people were sending her donations. Well, the Red Cross got upset, and they didn't like the fact that people were giving her donations and they weren't giving the donations to them. Oh, please. She could hardly compare to them, because they take in millions. They probably take in $1 billion. I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, they give all this money to the Red Cross, And there was a news story on the Drudge Report that the Red Cross came to some of these towns where, of course, people don't have food because maybe their house was flooded, their refrigerator was flooded. And the Red Cross brings them cookies and hot chocolate. Wow. Now, do you know how many millions of dollars have already been pledged to the Red Cross? Why aren't they there? The people were saying, why aren't they there with blankets? Why aren't they there with real food for people to eat? Why aren't people donating generators? And I've never seen such a mess. It was bad enough when we had to watch. Yeah, right. What? Yeah, I agree with you, Brother Vincent. Like, what? Cookies and hot chocolate? I think people should stop giving their money to the Red Cross. And just, if you can find somebody there, if you can get over there to New Jersey or New York, or you're in the area, maybe you can just go and find somebody to help yourself instead of sending money to these organizations, unless you know who you're sending it to. You're just wasting your money, because most of it does go to pay salaries for all the big wigs. I'm sure they make big salaries, or the heads of these organizations. And it goes for offices and buildings. And so by the time the money gets out to the people that really need it, there's probably not even that much left. But who's going to rise up in these days of apocalypse? And we see apocalypse. Doesn't it look apocalyptic there in New York, New Jersey area? Now, I grew up and I was born in New Jersey. I was born in North Jersey and grew up 14 miles outside of New York City. And I spent many, many summers in or at the Jersey Shore. I'm quite familiar with Seaside Heights and Atlantic City and Wildwood, New Jersey, Cape May. Most of those beach towns I have visited once or twice in my life. And very beautiful beach towns, beautiful beaches, and so much destruction that you can't even believe the destruction that how many hours did it take? It didn't take that many hours for that destruction to happen. Water flooding in, just flooding in. And some towns are just covered with sand from the beaches. The beaches have eroded, and miles of sand. It has to be cleaned up. It's going to be a big project trying to clean up and rebuild from the damage that I've seen anyway in the pictures that I've seen. It was a very, very destructive storm. And, of course, I know there's many people that would like to say, well, it's God's judgment, or I'm withholding my opinion on that because I want, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. So I guarantee you that there were some Christians that love God that had their house destroyed and that probably have suffered as much as the unbelievers. So I don't like to see anybody get hurt, whether they're a believer or they're an unbeliever. When I read the book of Revelation, it almost makes me want to shudder, because to read, I don't understand God's judgment. I don't understand it. And I guess that's why I'm not God. But if you read the book of Revelation and you see the things, when you read and you're going to see the things that are going to continue to happen on the earth, it's very frightening. Now, it should put the fear of God in people. And of course, it doesn't. Now, a rich city like New York, they have very, very wealthy people living in New York, and I'm just curious. It's very curious to see that with all the wealth there, why? Notice that the television stations are up and running. You know, the television stations are up and running, and someone was saying, well, how did they got Wall Street up and running, yet they can't get food and heat and supplies to the citizens. Very curious, I think. And you can't get a gas truck. Like, what does it take? That's one thing I can't believe it. What does it take to drive a fuel tanker into town from other states? We don't we didn't run out of gas yet. I didn't notice that this country was totally out of gasoline, that it can't be trucked in. No, but sometimes I think that people get some kind of pleasure out of seeing people suffer. And these people there in that area, they're furious with what's happening, and I don't blame them one bit for being angry. But then again, we as Christians, we know that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because only he can meet our needs. Only he can help us, the body of Christ. I know that Franklin Graham's organization, he has some big, huge trucks. I mean, big trucks, good-looking trucks. And he was there, ready with supplies, food, and they wouldn't let him in. They weren't letting people in. They even turned people away. People were coming to help, and because they weren't members of the union, they wouldn't let them come and help. Now, give me a break. And even, can you actually believe the mayor of New York, he wants to hold a marathon on He wanted to hold a marathon. Like, he doesn't live in the real world, does he? Oh, there was such a backlash. I think people were just, I don't know what they would have done if that marathon would have been held on Sunday. And then, the goofy Mayor Bloomberg, now, is this person educated or what? He wants to blame climate change. He blames, I guess he's an Al Gore fan or something, global warming he wants to blame for this storm. I don't know. I mean, where do these people come from? I think the only sane people that we're going to see or we're ever going to know really are people that their minds have been washed out by the Word of God. The body of Christ, we're supposed to have the wisdom of God, the compassion of God, and I think we'll see that in the days ahead as the churches mobilize there in the New York, New Jersey area. There's some very wealthy churches there. They've got Times Square Church, which was David Wilkerson's church right there, smack dab in the middle of Manhattan in the theater district. And then you've got Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, another Brooklyn Tabernacle, which is the home of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. You've got some famous Word of Faith churches there in the area. You've got Cashflow Dollar, alias Creflo, who's got a church in New York. So I'm waiting to see these ministries step up and help these people, because, yikes, they need help. You know, it's getting cold up there in New York, and so these people don't have heat. Terrible, really terrible. So, yeah, amen, Brother Vincent. The unions are ruining this society. Yeah, we know where the prosperity preachers took their example. So, I've got a phone call, and I'm going to take this phone call in just a minute. I just want to read one scripture to you, because I think as I was reading this morning, going through the book of Revelation, and I recommend that you take the time in the coming days just to go through the whole book, because as you do, you're going to see so many things that pertain to the end times. And Revelation 18, I'm going to start at verse 2. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people." Now, that's a warning to the body of Christ, is to come out of Babylon and stop taking on the spirit of the world. "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her. And they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." It's kind of like what's happening a little bit now. You see, you can't buy or sell in some areas. "The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyrene wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense." Verse 14, "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee." Now, you see, they can't get what they want to eat right now. They can't get the things that they want and the things that they're used to. "And all these things that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing." And it goes on to say that the merchants and for the merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries, their deception, all the nations were deceived. And they're going to weep and mourn because they're not going to be able to buy and sell. And we see these things that we're seeing now, it's just a small vision of what is to come on the earth. And I don't know if we're going to be here or not, you know. There is tribulation on the earth. I don't care what anybody says. The people go through tribulation. It's not the great tribulation, but Jesus, this is one of the promises in the Bible that the prosperity teachers don't tell you about, that Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation, and I guarantee you, you will. So I've got two callers on the phone. I'm going to take first the caller at 661, and then I'll get to the next caller at 718. Hello, caller.
Hello, Susan. This is Vincent.
Hi, Brother Vincent. How you doing?
I am great, and wow, what a great introduction to your show today. Oh, wow. It's, you know, my heart does go out to the people in New Jersey. I have family in New Jersey. I have an aunt in Brooklyn, and I called her this weekend. She said she's doing fine, but it's tragic what you see up north, and I like how you compared what's going on right now with the scriptures from the book of Revelation, because, you know, and it's just like you said, you know, in the time of the Great Tribulation, it's going to be on a broader scale, but this is just an example of what's going to happen during, you know, during that time of tribulation. And but my thoughts and prayers go to the people in the Northeast, and as well as the people in Cuba and Haiti and all those other places that got hit as well, because they're suffering as well. And we just need to keep these people in our thoughts and our prayers. And you just blew me away when you said that people are being turned away from helping because they are not working for the unions. I'm like, are you kidding me? You got to be outside of your mind, you know, because you're not working for the unions.
I know. It's unbelievable. The red tape of government, it's not like all the roads to New York and New Jersey are blocked off and nobody can drive a fuel tanker truck in or a truck full of food or some portable toilets or something. You know, this is supposed to be like the greatest nation of the world, but how we see things falling apart and the politics, the politicians, you know, trying to get one up on each other. The arrogance of it all.
Yeah.
It's to me, it's unbelievable. But we know as the body of Christ that we're the only ones that are really going to reach out and help people in the end.
Yeah.
Because that's what people are going to turn to. But, of course, when you read the book of Revelation, you see that when people go through these things, they'll blaspheme God. They'll curse God. And you know, they were saying that the Con Ed workers were trying to restore power in some of the neighborhoods, and I guess they have to climb poles, and people were coming out and throwing eggs at them.
Wow.
Because they were so frustrated. But I don't blame people for being frustrated. When people are trying to come in from all over the country and help out there, and they're being turned away, or they're being told they can't go in, they have to wait for this red tape and that red tape, and meanwhile, people are hurting. It's cold.
Yeah.
And it's awful to be cold and hungry and wet all in the same place. But hold on, Brother Vincent. Let me get this other caller, but hold on with me, okay?
Okay.
718. I'm going to be putting, hello, caller.
Hi, Susan?
Yes.
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon. It's Ronelle. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I called in because I live in Brooklyn. And thankfully, I'm okay. But my mother-in-law, she lives in the Rockaways, and they had to evacuate, so they're staying with us. It's terrible over there.
Yeah.
It is terrible. She told me that she called FEMA for help, and they told her they wouldn't be able to help her if she didn't have her Social Security number.
Oh,
they're
you
not,
got to be kidding.
She didn't have
helping.
Her card?
No, they need your number. They are not helping anyone unless you identify yourself. They need to know your social.
Wow.
They need to know your address. So, in other words, because there are people out there who are looting and doing bad things. So that's the excuse. It's like if people, you know, I guess want to rob and break in and all that kind of stuff, you can't really go and get help. So the good are suffering for the bad. But over there, there's still no power. There's been no power since Sunday.
Now, what is the reason? Can they tell us what is the reason why they think they're not getting their power?
Well, the reason is because the Con Edison grid, I guess, that services that particular area is drowned out, and the wiring and all that kind of stuff, it's dangerous to turn it back on.
I see.
And furthermore, a lot of those houses over there, they have lines that are outside and on poles.
Yes.
And, I mean, the entire boardwalk got washed up and was like, I mean, the neighborhood, it's like a war zone over there. It's terrible. It's horrible over there.
War zone. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And how fast it happened. But thank God that at least they have you to turn to.
Well, thank goodness for that. Thank goodness for that.
Because who are some of these people don't have anywhere to go? And, of course, New York is a city full of hotels.
Yeah, but you can't get a hotel
there
now.
And I'm wondering, why aren't these people being taken care of? They have all these buildings with rooms.
Oh, my God.
And people are suffering.
And you know the bad part, I'll tell you about, I don't know if you saw about the mayor and the marathon.
Yeah.
He's incredible. They have 42 generators that could be used to rescue people who are in housing projects.
Yeah.
And instead, he wants to put the city on the map and be, you know, let's get after 9/11. This isn't 9/11. This is totally different. This wasn't a terrorist attack. It was an act of nature.
Yeah.
Or however else it happened. But that's another story.
Yeah, how we don't really know how
we
it
don't
happened.
Know, but, you know, it
no,
happened.
No, we don't know.
But
you know, Rennell, the thing that gets me is they have these huge generators sitting there that they plan to use in the marathon, and they're not being used to help the people there.
I know, because those people aren't people of means. Unfortunately, it's terrible, but it's true. It's the truth. I can tell you a horror story with my work. We were off Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday they allowed us to work from home, but they started, you know, not putting the pressure on, but just asking nicely if people could come in. Just try your best to come in. So it took me from Brooklyn to Manhattan, which normally takes about 45 minutes to an hour. My girlfriend and I traveled together. It took us 3 hours to get in.
Wow.
Because I don't know if you saw the mayhem on TV with lining up for the shuttle
bus. Yeah, we saw it. Yeah.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I said to myself, if this is the tip of the iceberg about what's going to happen, oh, my Lord, I don't want to be here.
I know.
When this is all happening. Cause it just,
I know.
It, even when you walk outside, there's a certain feeling in the air.
Yeah.
You can just tell. It just doesn't feel good. People look so distraught and sad, and now, you know, you have to line up for food. They told these people in Red Hook, which is another waterfront area in Brooklyn, they told them to come at a certain time to receive food and water because those people have been without power and gas and lights since Sunday. They told them to come at a certain time. The people stood online for 3 hours, and Susan, nobody said anything. They just stood there. And then they posted another letter that said, oh, I'm so sorry. It's not this time. It's this time. So they all, there was a line.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like
you
40
degrees. Kidding me.
People with babies. It's 40 degrees outside. They're standing
what
there shivering.
What is wrong with these people?
Shivering in the cold. It was
and
it's
why
so
should
sad.
Anybody have to stand in a line? It's like get some bodies down there and start passing the stuff out.
I know. It's just red tape. And even my mom, she's a teacher. She told me that she went to pick up her paycheck and she had to wait 3 hours in a line. And they said, instead of like giving the paychecks to the individual schools, they demanded that everybody who works for the Board of Ed come down to this particular building and wait. She said it was mayhem. People were crying. I don't have any money. That's why I'm here to get my check.
Well, of course they were crying. They'd already been through so much, and then you have to go stand for 3 hours to wait for your paycheck?
Yeah,
I don't understand. I think they need to boot all these people out, all these government officials. They just need to boot them out.
It's ridiculous. But, I mean, when we were taking the shuttle bus from Manhattan back into Brooklyn on Thursday afternoon, below 23rd Street, there was no cell phone service because all the phone towers and everything were washed out.
Yeah.
So if you were on your phone, you couldn't, I mean, there was no traffic lights. You just saw all the officers standing in the street. And it's so funny how New York is such a big city and people are normally not friendly. Everybody was talking to each other. People seemed to have more compassion. And I said, wow, it took a disaster to make us be human again. Because for the most part, in the morning, in the commute, everybody's rude. Everybody's pushing and shoving. It's get out of my way. I need to get to where I need to go. So that's, I mean, that's the one blessing, I guess, in the, you know, in the light of this dark situation.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Go ahead.
Can I add something? You know, and I don't want to sound like I'm political or anything, because this is really not the place for politics or anything like that. But I remember back in 92 when Hurricane Andrew hit Florida and people blamed George Bush. Matter of fact, it cost him the reelection that year. Hurricane Katrina came through in 2005 and hit New Orleans. People blame, you know, George Bush II.
Yeah.
I find it very strange that a lot of the powers that be are not blaming Obama for this.
Oh, no.
And I'm not saying that he deserves the blame, but back then it was George Bush. George Bush didn't act fast enough.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about that this morning. how they were putting the blame. But, yeah, but I don't see any big deal going on over here either.
Actually,
yeah.
I see the opposite happening, because did you see that Governor Christie was basically hugging and kissing Obama?
Yeah.
And he's a Republican. He was just drinking the Kool-Aid. And then it's just, you know, now everybody's like, well, Obama's doing a great job, because he told FEMA, normally with FEMA, what you would have to do is get denied from your regular insurance carrier.
Yeah.
Then they'll help you. Obama passed some declaration saying that FEMA, he's letting them waive that clause. So people now can go to FEMA first for help, which they have never done in the past. So I think this is one of those things where they're going to go, well, our president did the best he could.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he did the best he could,
but he goes down there. He makes his appearance, and, you know, yeah, Christie and him are hugging and kissing and whatever. And then the people are standing in line for 6 hours to get gas. And then even after they're waiting for 6 hours to get the gas, then they're told there's no gas.
Yeah, my husband drove out 30 miles yesterday looking for gas, and then he was turned away because the truck that was supposed to have been there, by the time it got there, in no time the gas was gone. I mean, people are fighting. People are it's coming to blows.
Well, the thing is, I can, of course, imagine how frustrating it is that you think that you live in this great country and then you can't get a truck there with food, you can't get a truck there with supplies. You've got the Red Cross, which is taking in millions of dollars, and they gave cookies and hot chocolate to people.
I know.
And, you know, it's like, what in the world is going on? Yeah, the politicians, they're all hugging and kissing, and then I'm like, okay, so how much does it take to make a few phone calls to get some trucks in there and get
For the most part, all the people who can afford it on the Upper West Side, they didn't really lose a lot of power. That's like one of the most expensive zip codes in the country.
Yeah.
And people in the West Village, like I have a friend, her husband, he had cancer surgery recently, and so he's in a facility there. They lost power, but they have a small generator. But for the most part, if you look at Lower Manhattan, yeah, there are some middle-class people, but there are a lot of poor people there too.
Yeah.
This is affecting the poor and working class.
Yes, and you could see that. Like I was saying before at the beginning of the program, the news networks are up and running in New York City.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they all have their
generators. The stock exchange was up and running.
Yep. They all have their generators. I mean, I lost power for a couple of days. It kept coming and going. And over here was in darkness, and then we heard people. I mean, this is normally a pretty decent neighborhood in Brooklyn, but we heard gunshots going off. I was so afraid. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Well, the thing is, there's so much looting, too, that's going on with people coming and looting. And, you know, the Lord rebuke you. I don't know where these kind of people come from that they want to go.
I know. I mean, and then I heard that there are people who are saying, if you need somewhere to stay, I'll charge you $700 a night. They're just terrible people who just want to take advantage in such a sad situation.
Well, there's plenty of shelter there in New York City. Like I said, there's probably
there's
thousands.
Tons of spaces, but they showed this one schoolroom, I think, that they were using. They were making like a makeshift shelter, and people were using the cafeteria as a bathroom.
I know.
Because they won't open up like the W Hotel or the Holiday Inn and put these people. They would never do that. But Susan, let me let you go. Thanks so much for the dialogue. Enjoying the show.
Yeah, we just have about 11 minutes left today. I have to do a short version today, but I want to thank you, Ranelle, for calling in, and why don't you go ahead and tell people about your program?
Oh, I don't have a program, actually. I just listen to you a lot. I listen to Church Folk Revolution Radio, but I don't have my own program.
Yeah.
You guys are plenty for me.
Oh, okay. I thought you had you broadcast some on Blog Talk Radio.
No, maybe in the future. That's an idea.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for calling in today and telling us, giving us a report from the scene there in New York.
Okay,
and,
you're welcome, Susan.
Okay, God bless you.
Okay,
thank
God bless you
very
too.
Much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Brother Vincent, it's amazing, isn't it, how what we're seeing and, how we know that truly the end times are coming. And, who knows what's going to happen on Tuesday. God only knows.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of chaos is going to break out, because how are people even going to vote with no power? What is going to happen? I don't know. I mean, God only knows what's going to happen. But it is. Go on.
I can make a personal prediction, and this is, I'm not no clairvoyant or no prophet or anything like this, but you know, just from experience, if those people in New York can't get to the polls to vote, and Barack Obama loses, I guarantee you, people are going to start saying it was because of that hurricane that those people couldn't get to the polls. That's the reason why Barack Obama lost the election. I guarantee you. I know how these people operate.
Well, they're saying now something about they want to extend the elections for 20 days or something. And I just can't imagine. I mean, I remember that one election between George Bush and Al Gore, where first they said, we have a winner. Were you watching television that night? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
First they said, okay, yes, we have a winner. George Bush wins.
Yeah.
And then they came back out and they said, no, we don't have a winner. He's not the winner.
That was frustrating.
but wasn't that weird? I mean, the whole thing was so strange. It was
I thought
I was in the Twilight Zone or something.
Exactly.
I was like, what? What is going on? This is the weirdest thing I ever saw in my life. And then they come out and say, okay, we don't have a president. So then they went through this long, drawn-out process of counting these votes in Florida and holding them up in the light. And I don't at this point, with this election coming up, I don't know what to think, what's going to happen.
This is a big election. It's a really big one. And I like what you said earlier. It's nobody's business if you vote or if you don't vote.
And one
thing that frustrates me a lot is people always getting in your face, you better vote, you better vote, you better vote. But suppose both of the candidates aren't people that you favor, you know.
That's
but
exactly
they tell you to
right.
vote anyway. You
know,
and
maybe,
I'm like, you know.
No, you do what God tells you to do.
That's right.
And you don't have to answer to anybody. So you do what your conscience or what you believe. After you pray and whatever God tells you to do, that's what you do, because that's the only person you have to answer to is Almighty God.
That's right.
And, you know, we have just a few minutes left here today, but Brother Vincent has a program on Blog Talk Radio and Black by Color Only, and it's a very, very good program, very informative. And Brother Vincent, tell the listeners a little bit about your program and when they can listen.
Okay, just like you said, it's called Black by Color Only. And that's to let people know that because I'm a black person, I don't hold to the ideas of mainstream black America. All I'm about is the truth, whether it comes from a white person, a Chinese person. I don't care if it's the truth, it's the truth. And that's all I deal with. And, you know, I've been called the names Uncle Tom and your Jigaboo and your Uncle Ruckus and all that. I'm like, well, yeah, go ahead. Call me the names. That's all you got. But see, I'm going to bring the facts. And I let people know I'm not all that politically sound and everything. I'm not. I really don't understand politics, to be honest with you. And I don't get on the show like I know everything and stuff like that. And basically, I have the show because I have information to give out, and I like to receive information from other people. And
yeah.
I've had a lot of great people come on and share their thoughts and everything. Well, and because of last week, you know, I broke my ankle, And you got to hear me out on this one. I broke my ankle last week because I had to kick so many people off of my radio show last week.
You were being attacked. I mean, the devil was attacking you bad.
I mean, it was like, my goodness, where did these people come? I had almost
200
people.
That was the worst attack I think I ever saw on a radio program.
It was crazy, and I said, you know what, you know, they can do whatever they want to, but that's all they got, you know, I'm going to come to you with the facts and everything. But I had a kid. One guy directed me to a porn site. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I know. I mean, that was really demonic. I said, I never saw, I happened to tune in a little bit during that program, and I never saw anything like it. I never saw anything like that kind of attack. I mean, I was really praying for you because I said, boy, the devil must surely hate you.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst attacks I ever saw on a radio broadcast.
Yeah, and, I ain't had that many people, you know, tune into the show. It was almost 200 people. And when I see that amount of people come on the show, I already know, get your foot ready, you're about to kick some people off. Get it ready.
because I
don't get that many people on my show and everything. And, you know, but, you know, hey, thank God, you know, the show will go on. I will be on tonight at 7 o'clock.
They're already saying now, some people are saying, well, if Obama doesn't get reelected, they're going to, you know, they're going to start having fights with people. They're already saying they're going to attack people. And then some people are saying, well, if Romney doesn't get elected, they're going to do things. And I'm like, you know, it's awful that there's still so much hatred in the country. And but, of course, we know that only people that are born again and know the Lord Jesus Christ and have the mind of Christ and have compassion, have real compassion, because only love can come from God. I mean, only God can give us love for people.
Yes.
So we need it more now than ever. And so anyway, I want to thank Rennell for calling in. I had thought, because I know somebody else named Rennell that has a program, and I thought that was the Rennell that had called in from Blog Talk Radio. But anyway, thanks, Rennell, for calling in. I sure appreciate your insight. And Brother Vincent, thank you today for calling in. It's always good to hear from you and to be a part of this program, okay? God bless you.
Okay.
All right. So, everybody, God bless you today. And we know that we have faith and hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. We know that no matter what comes on the earth, we can put our faith and trust in him. And if you live in the New York, New Jersey area, get out there, get some groceries together, get some blankets together, do whatever you can do, find somebody to help personally. I wouldn't recommend anybody give any money to the Red Cross or these big organizations. Try to find somebody yourself to help, and we know, they'll know that we're Christians by our love. Amen. So most importantly today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your life today, because only Jesus can give you true joy and peace and those things that are you're looking for. As the days will become increasingly wicked in the days ahead, and we're going to need God more than ever. So you can't look to government. You can't look to your relatives. You can't look sometimes to even your own family, but you can trust God. He'll be there. He'll be faithful and true. You can ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and come into your life and give you a new life today. Because Jesus said you must be born again, and truly you must be born again. God bless you all today. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Tune in the next weeks ahead. We have a former Catholic priest, Richard Bennett, coming on. He was a priest for 30 years. We'll also have on Christine Weick from her Blog Talk Radio program, Explain This, talking about more about the Book of Revelation. We have a guest coming on to talk about Rick Joyner, the false prophet. So we have some great programs coming. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city. lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.